that we give Him tonight. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Well, I'm glad you did not forsake the assembling of yourself together. It's not just as the manner of some is, it's a manner of a lot of folks do. And I understand the schedules and the pressures. For a while I was on day shift, which is not a day shift anymore, because if you have to be there at 4 in the morning and get up at 2:30 in order to be there at 4 in the morning, it's not daylight. That's not day shift. That's kind of a... whatever it isn't a day shift anymore. Praise God. Amen. But God has been good, and I appreciate Him so very much. And He's helped me when I didn't get much sleep, and He's helped Sean when he didn't get much sleep, because I know there are times when he just doesn't get all that he needs. But God is good, and God is gracious, and God rewards faithfulness tonight. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Romans 8, verse 31 through 39. I want to give you something that I believe will help you overcome your adversary in a very real sense of the way that he works feverishly to defeat Christians. Everybody that understands that there is a God in heaven knows that there is a devil that rules over the realm of darkness. He's very real. He exists. The Bible told us not to take Him for granted, nor to take it lightly that we have this kind of spiritual enemy. It never told us to be afraid of Him, but it told us to recognize that we have a formidable foe. He is conquerable. We have access to spiritual armor, but the fact that He exists is very, very real in Scripture. Can you say amen? The Bible said in Ephesians 6 to take the whole armor of God that we might be able to overcome all of the dimensions of this world of darkness that he rules over and that has influence on this earth. The Bible spoke of the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There are people that blatantly disobey God without any conscience, and there is a spiritual influence that has the sway in their life. I used to wonder about that song that George Beverly Shea used to sing for years in the Billy Graham Crusades, when he sung that song, "I'd Rather Have Jesus Than Silver Gold," and talking about being delivered from sin's dread sway. Can you say amen? Well, there is a spirit that actually, the Bible said, before we became Christians, we were of our father the devil, and his works we did. We didn't maybe consciously realize that. Most people I know that came to Christ were not devil worshipers. They were not asking for satanic influence, but they were under satanic influence without even realizing it. And that's why a man that was talking to me recently that I told you about this morning, about this sudden manifestation of God to him, started asking me immediately about some moral choices he was making. And some things that he didn't see necessarily as a particular sin to him, but he felt concerned enough to ask me about it. And I told him, I said, well, the Bible said don't give any place to the devil. Don't give him any ground. If you make the decision to follow Jesus, you've got to understand that you've got an enemy to defeat, and we can't give him an advantage. The Bible said to watch your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. Out of it are the issues of life. And really, a lot of what comes out of it is what we allow to come into it. Can you say amen? So it's real important that we keep things filtered in our life. And we don't want to give any place or any ground to the devil. Paul said, in essence, if you forgive someone that has done some wrong and they've obtained forgiveness, then we forgive them automatically as well, lest Satan should gain an advantage over us. Amen? If we don't guard our heart, the enemy gains an advantage over us. Well, one of the great areas that we've got to defeat the enemy of our soul in spiritual warfare is in the area of him becoming the accuser of the brethren. That's why it's so informative when you read Revelation chapter 12, where it says, now is the accuser of our brethren cast down that accused them before God day and night. You go far back to one of the most ancient books in the Bible, the book of Job, and there he is in that role of accuser of the brethren. One of the most righteous men of the day, if not the most righteous man of the day, as far as man's righteousness can take you, amen, without the new birth, was Job. God called him a perfect man in certain areas of his life. Certainly not sinlessly perfect, but God qualified him as having a heart with the intent to do righteousness. Can you say amen? And he accredited him that way. And suddenly there's an angel that has been disbarred from coming into the presence of God. Do you know angels do get involved in the affairs of men? Amen. Jacob laid his head on a stone pillow. When I see some of those pillows, I always think of Jacob laying his on a pillow of stone. And I think, if we complain. You know, if we go to a motel somewhere and the bed isn't like the bed we're used to, then we get up and say, boy, my back hurts, my neck hurts. And we have, now that we've got these pillows that are not even goose down and all that stuff. Now we've got these pillows out of the space age stuff and beds out of that stuff that conform to every line and contour of your body. Amen. But here's this guy laying out under the stars. Amen. Lays his head on a pillow of stone and he says, I see a ladder. Everybody heard of Jacob's ladder? He didn't see a ladder, amen, like you would climb like that. He saw a corridor between heaven and earth. He said, there is a corridor. And what I see is angels ascending and angels descending. Can you say amen? In the book of Job, an angel came up into the presence of God that was barred from coming. And the first thing God asked this angel is, what are you doing here? And the angel was identified as the devil. Everybody say the devil. You know what devil means in the New Testament as it's written? The diablos is the word that is used. It means simply a maligner. Isn't that incredible that this fallen angel filled with such wrath and malice toward God and the object of God's love, God's children, God's creation, God's people, amen, even the lost, God loves. How many know God loves the lost? He hates sin while loving the sinner. Well, we've got an accuser. And the ancient book of Job, in this corridor between heaven and earth where angels do the bidding of God in behalf of God's people, in behalf of affairs on the earth, an angel shows up in the presence of God. And this angel is there and he says, what are you doing here? He said, I'm here to pose you a question. Everybody say a question. Satan said, I'm going to give you a question. He said, I want you to answer this question. See, where this is going tonight is I want to give you from the Bible some unanswerable questions that you can use against the enemy of your soul if you choose to go with what the Scripture says instead of what you feel, what you see, but what God has to say. The final authority is what God has to say about it. Let every man become the liar. Let God become, amen, the final authority or the truth. And the devil said, well, a man won't serve you for nothing. A man won't serve you for naught. You think you have some faithful people down there that love you for you and respect you and revere you, but you really don't. They're so evil that if you didn't bless them constantly, protect them constantly, if you didn't just lavish them with love by blessing them, they wouldn't give you the time of day. And so God answered his question this way. He said, have you considered my servant Job? Well, what was he doing to mankind, and Job in particular, mankind in general? What was Satan doing? He was doing what he's best at, and that's accusing. And that's why the Bible said the great victory for the Christian in the book of Revelation said, now is the accuser of our brethren. Cast down that did what? Accuse them before God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, amen, the word of their testimony, and they loved not their life even unto the death. Can you say amen? But they overcome him in a particular area. This wasn't power against power. This was being able, amen, to overcome his accusations. Hello? Did you know something? The devil can accuse everybody in here of sin, and without the blood of Jesus, you cannot win the argument. Amen. For if a man says he has no sin, even as a Christian, what happens? What happened? Now, I'm not talking about being under sin's sway. I'm talking about in our humanity, with the intent and the bent to do right, his seed remaineth in us, that we sin not. So when we do sin as Christians, we feel it, don't we? There's a guilt that is immediately felt. Why is that guilt there? Amen. Because our conscience isn't seared anymore. Amen. We're not dead to God. We've been made alive to God. Ephesians 2 said, and you hath he quickened or given life who was dead in trespasses and sins. Amen. We were dead in terms of our relationship. We were dead in terms of our conscience. The only thing that bothered a lot of people was getting caught and getting punished. Amen. But the conscience wasn't alive. But when the conscience comes alive, we feel it, and we feel it deeply inside. I make mistakes, and when I make a mistake, and I say something in anger, I say something in frustration and agitation, I don't speak the truth in love, I feel it deep on the inside of me. And the enemy will climb on you, and now he'll jump up and down. It's not that we shouldn't deal with it, but we shouldn't let the enemy condemn us. We should let God cleanse us. Can you say amen? If we say we have no sin, we lie and do not the truth. But if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just or righteous to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. God doesn't want to just forgive the sin. He wants to cleanse the conscience. He wants to give us the peace that only God can give. Amen? But we have an accuser of the brethren. And this is serious stuff. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. And the word of their testimony. Everybody say the word of my testimony. That's not just saying, amen, I'm saved. I thank God I'm saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost and all of that kind of stuff. It's not even your salvation testimony that it's talking about. It is a testimony testifying to a truth of what the blood of Jesus. See, it starts with the blood and then the word of your testimony. You need to say what God says after the blood has been applied to your life. Everybody say, I need to say what God says. See, Hebrews 13:5 says, He hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, that we might boldly say. Amen. That's the word of your testimony. Amen. That we might boldly say, amen, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Satan is never going to give up trying to get you to give up. He's never going to give up trying to discourage you. He wants you constantly beaten down. He wants you, instead of dealing with the weaknesses of the flesh through repentance and asking for strength to overcome, He wants you to just give up. Some people give up on controlling their temper because they blew it so many times, they just give up. Amen? God doesn't want you to give up. God wants you to overcome. And the main reason people give up is discouragement. There's always going to be an accuser. And conviction is not coming to accuse anyone. Conviction's coming, amen, for a different purpose. Amen. The Holy Ghost comes, He will do what? He will convince the world of sin. That means convict the world of sin. When I feel conviction, God is not accusing me. My conscience is accusing me. Amen. The devil is accusing me, but God is saying, hey, there's a solution for this. Amen. And the solution is that you get it right before God. And you get cleansed in your conscience. And you stand up boldly and go on and fight the good fight of faith. I don't want you defeated and debilitated. I want you, amen, I want you forgiven and regenerated, praise God. That's what God wants. But everyone in here has to defeat the accuser of the brethren. And he asked God a question. So I think we should pose some questions to him tonight. From the Word of God. Amen. The Apostle Paul did that. And you can see this defeating the accuser by asking him some questions. I love the t-shirt, and I told you about it many times. I never found it anywhere. I would have bought it. If you ever see it, buy it for me, and I'll pay you for it. But it said, the next time the devil, amen, the next time the devil tells you where you've been. Yeah, the next... Oh, yeah. The next time the devil reminds you of your past, tell him of his future. The next time the devil reminds you of where you've been, tell him where he's going. Amen. He's the one you can tell where to go and not be cursing. Amen. Just tell him to go south of heaven and leave you alone. Amen. So the question was asked, will a man serve God for nothing? God answers that question by allowing Job to go through these many tests that he went through. And he did it on one occasion with one man to prove a point one time, and he proved the point. Amen. Because I don't think many of us who want to say relate to Job can truly relate to Job. Amen. God just took the hedge down. He said, Satan, you can touch anything in his life, but you cannot touch his life. His life itself is sacred. It is mine. You can't kill him, but you can touch his family. You can touch his income. You can touch his body. You can touch everything, but you cannot take his life. I won't allow you to do it. And the deal was, amen, God proved a point. There are people that will love me and serve me no matter what. And the devil lost that situation. And I'm sure that he didn't walk down that corridor. I'm sure he slid down it. Can you say amen? Because God just kicked him out and banned him. But he was in the presence of God. And he constantly brings this question up. He's the accuser of the brethren. Devil means diablos. That's why we got to be real careful when we're cutting people and we're putting down somebody, because we're getting over into his territory. He's a maligner. He wants to malign me. He would like to discredit me to the degree that the anointing on me would lose its influence, because he maligns. He's diabolos, which means a maligner. That means, let me tell you the real scoop on Mike. Yeah, he plays that thing down there, but let me tell you what he's really all about. And cut him to pieces until the next time you see him playing under the anointing, you don't receive anything, because the devil has maligned him and killed and hurt his reputation. In a court of law, amen, people can be sued, amen, for maligning someone and besmirching their character to the point that they can't get the job, they can't get the promotion, they can't go on in their career. You better know what you're talking about before you malign someone, or you can be hauled into court. They maligned the lady, the funny lady, I forget her name, said she was a chronic alcoholic, and it jeopardized her career on television. And she sued them and won one of these periodical magazines, Carol Burnett. She sued them and won. She sued their socks off. Amen. And I'm glad she did, because they write these salacious things just to sell papers. Whether they're true or not doesn't seem to matter. Well, the difference is, when you come to God, is a lot of the things he accuses us of is true. Amen. He says they sin. They miss it sometimes. And you can't stand up and answer that question and say, no, I do not. God knows better. The devil knows better. And if you don't know better, you're deeply deceived. That don't mean you're under sin's sway. When you do sin, you feel bad about it. Why? Because you've got a bent toward righteousness. You don't practice sin. You confess your sin. But after you confess it, and you mean it, and it's sincere, and it's coming from your heart, it's gone. I said it's gone. The Bible says it's gone. And you know something? The Bible said that having our conscience sprinkled from evil, we come before God with a boldness and a confidence, because that used to plague us is gone. Hallelujah. Well, listen to this. Here's some answers that we need to be able to give the accuser. And they are indispensable truths as well. Romans 8, 31 through 39. Listen to this. And everywhere it said, who will? And everywhere it says... It says, what shall? These are all questions. They end with question marks. And it begins that way in verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? How are we going to answer accusations? How are we going to answer all of these circumstances? How are we going to answer when the circumstances tell us that if God loved you, this wouldn't be happening to you? What is the answer for that? The enemy wants to place doubt in your heart, fear in your heart. He wants to pull the faith out of your heart if he possibly can. Listen to this. What then shall we say to these things? This is how we answer this enemy of our soul and even our weak flesh. Listen to it. What then shall we say, Romans 8, 31, to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Another question, who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. God is the one. Who is the one then, he says, that condemns? Jesus Christ, he who died for us, rather who was raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us, who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? Listen to this. This is the circumstances that scream through that circumstance. If God loved you, this wouldn't be happening. How do you answer that when the devil is saying, well, what's your answer for that? He said, for your sake we're being put to death all the day long. We're considered as sheep to be slaughtered, just as it's written in verse 36. But in all these things we overwhelmingly, we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Hallelujah. Can you answer circumstances like that, no matter what they are? Amen. Listen to this. Let me just stop here, man. I want to ask you, how are you answering when condemnation comes? How are you answering when circumstances come? Are you questioning God, or are you speaking your faith? You got to be able to answer these things. And you got to answer them in such a way Satan has no comeback. And you know how it all begins? It begins with who? The question. It begins with, if God be for us. Oh, don't even get me started here. I'll never get to the other four. There are five things here that we need to get in terms of answers. But listen, if God is for us, I am so tired of hearing about what the devil is doing. Amen. Aren't you sick and tired of hearing about the devil? Amen. Aren't you tired of hearing Christians blame the devil for everything? It's not that he doesn't, isn't behind a lot of things, but we can't keep blaming devils and live in victory. You can't blame the devil for your defeat. He's the tempter. That's his job. He's only doing his job. Amen? You can't blame him. If God didn't want him to be, if God thought you could be overcome by him, he wouldn't leave him here. He'd wrap him up right now and throw him in the pit. But he gives you armor, and he gives you information as well as armor. There's no need putting on armor. Well, part of the armor is a belt, and that belt is called truth. Can you say, Matt? I know he's a liar from the beginning, but what he tells God about us, all of it isn't a lie. Some of it is true. Thank you for the hearty amens. Some of it is true. You don't always walk perfectly. That's the truth. You don't always forgive immediately. That's the truth. Amen. You don't always speak the truth in love. That's the truth. Amen. You can't defeat him by not being, ever wrong in anything. There's only one way to defeat him. When you are wrong, to apply very quickly the blood of Jesus Christ to your life. Can you say, I'm not a license to sin. I'm talking about when we stumble, we're convicted, we immediately go to God and apply the blood. Amen. And we don't look back. We look forward. Praise God. And we go on. Amen. I love what Dale said. It so inspired me. She said, I know we're growing spiritually because she said the things that used to put us on our back, now, when they happen, we get on our face, which means we seek God. We go to God. We run to God. We don't give up. We don't flounder. We don't quit. Amen? That's spiritual maturity. The world, the flesh, and the devil, if God be for us, that's the question we've got to answer that the devil cannot answer. If God be for us, who can be against us? Can you say amen? The question isn't who's against you, who's against me. The question is, can God stand up in your behalf? Anybody ever read the Old Testament at all? All those great stories of victory in Israel. Amen. When they were right with God, you couldn't hurt them. You couldn't harm them. You couldn't overcome them. You couldn't overrule them, override them. Can you say amen? They were always the minority. They never had enough in the natural to overcome anything. But when God stood up, amen, in their behalf, no one could defeat them. Can you say amen? When God stood up in their behalf, who could be against them? The issue is God for us? Honey, I'm here to tell you something today. God is for you. Amen. When you're up, when you're down, when you're at your best, when you're at your worst, I didn't say he approves. I'm telling you, he's for you. He wants you to win. He wants you to get up. He wants you to come to him. He wants you to be cleansed. He wants you to be the person he's designed you to be, and he's on your side. And you ought to be able to say what the Word of God says because of the blood of Jesus. If God is for me, who can be against me? God can't be for you if you've got unconfessed sin. But if you confess it, He's faithful and righteous to forgive it. And if He forgives it, He's for you. And if He's for you, no one can defeat you. Can you say amen? Somebody give God praise here tonight. If God be for me, I believe in the God of the second chance and the third chance and the fourth chance and the fifth chance to infinity and beyond. Everybody say, to infinity and beyond. Grace knows no limits. Say it with me. Grace knows no limits. We're going to heaven because grace knows no limits. God is for us, and no one can be against us and prevail. The accuser cannot prevail. Woo! Wow! God is for me. He is not hostile. God is for sinners who come to Him and receive His abundant grace. God plus me equals a whole person. Amen? He makes me whole. He heals me inside as well as the outside. I think we've got, every time we see healed in the Bible, we think of the physical healing. We're just programmed to the physical material. Amen? With His stripes we are healed. Immediately we think of our bodies. Our bodies are not the primary target of that scripture. Thank you for the hearty amens. Amen? There's a deeper healing taking place than just your body there. It doesn't mean that there's not a covenant for healing for your bodies. Jesus was a great healer of physical bodies, but He never wanted to be known as a faith healer. He came to seek and to save that which was lost, to deliver people from the kingdom of darkness. I want to teach you just a little bit tonight. Isaiah 53:5 has always been taken as the great healing scripture. It's quoted again partially in 1 Peter 2 and verse 24, where it said, "Who Himself bare our sins in His own body, with whose stripes you were healed." I heard someone preach that as just the physical sense of that, and he said there's 39 major diseases and there was 39 stripes laid on Jesus. It wasn't 39 stripes laid on Jesus. Can you say amen? When they gave Him that scourge, it was worse than the prescribed scourging. His visage was marred more than any man's. That means the people that had the prescribed amount of stripes, it went way beyond that in Jesus. Can you say amen? Marred more than any man's means they beat and striped Him more than anybody that had ever been tied to that whipping post. Amen. And we try to tie in these things that don't make a lot of sense. Amen. But the healing scripture in the book of Isaiah is Isaiah chapter 53 and verse 4. Amen. Where it says he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows. Amen. Did you know that St. Matthew quoted that in the New Testament verbatim? And you know how he quoted that scripture, St. Matthew? You know what he said when they saw Him bringing the sick out of every corner and every community, and he saw them bringing the sick to be healed? He was moved with compassion and He healed them, that it might be fulfilled, spoken by the prophet Isaiah. He did not quote verse 5, he quoted verse 4. "Who Himself bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases," because that's what the ancient Hebrew words meant. Can you say amen? Are you listening to me? Amen. Why don't we get it right? We just see the physical. Honey, we need healing from the inside out. You need more than just a healing in your body. You need a healing in your soul. And then you need a healing in your conscience and your mind. Amen. You need to be the person God called you to be. And you need to understand, when you confess your sins, God takes His stand and stands up in your behalf. Can you say amen? That you are a sinner that has been saved by grace, but you are not in sin's dread sway anymore. But if you stumble, you can apply the blood. For if we walk in the light as He is in the light, the blood of Jesus does a work. It cleanses us from all. It is a continuous cleansing power as long as we continually confess. Forgive us our debts as we forgive them, our debtors. It's part of the foundation for all prayer. Is a prayer for personal forgiveness. If my people call by my name, too many people are praying for America and they're not getting cleansed themselves. Can you say amen? And part of what God answering to touch this nation is getting us in a place of bold faith and testimony and witness and living our Christian life in such a convincing way that the world looks on and people begin to see the glory of our great God. If my people which are called by my name would rally together, fast and pray until I come and do something about the problems. No, if my people which are called by my name name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked way. I will hear from on high. I will heal their land. And it's not just God moving sovereignly alone. It's God using you and God using me. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Amen? And if the salt loses its saltiness, wherewith shall it be salted? Amen. That's not talking about whetting the appetite for God because of the seasoning that salt gives food. That's talking about a higher reason, amen, for our being here. It is that that keeps things from putrefying. They salted the meat because they had no refrigeration, and it was kept from putrefying because they packed it in salt. That's why country hams up in Georgia, amen, taste so good because you don't have to salt them suckers. They are salty already. Amen. They smoke them and salt them amen. And it absolutely preserves it. You know what the preserving force in this world is right now? Amen. The Church of Jesus Christ, the real Church of Jesus Christ. Amen. They wish we would shut up and get on out of town and get out of Dodge. Well, one day we're going to get out of Dodge, and amen, I believe it won't be long before they wish they had us back. Can you say amen? Because we are the salt. We keep the whole thing from putrefying. Amen. The Bible said the Antichrist, Satan wants to put a man on the scene that he can inhabit and move through, but he can't. He can't yet. There's something holding him back. Can you say amen? He can't be manifest. That man of sin can't be manifest until he that letteth is taken out of the way. Can you say amen? I believe that's the Holy Spirit's work in and through the church, the bride. Hallelujah. Amen. We're here. And as long as we're here, Satan can't have full reign over this earth, because there are people that have been equipped and qualified to bind on this earth and to loose on this earth. Can you say amen? Jesus taught something extraordinary, amen, to the religious mind. And you know what he said? He said, behold, I give you the keys to the kingdom. What you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and what you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. No wonder the devil don't want you praying in authority and praying in faith and praying consistently. Amen. Something has to be removed for Satan to have his way. Some people say, well, that's the Holy Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit has come to live within people called the church. Can you say amen? And he said to us, I've given you authority over all the power of the devil. Don't mean he can't move in hearts that allow him to. But as far as you're concerned, amen, God has given you absolute 100% authority over him. Submit yourself unto God. Resist the devil. He doesn't have a choice. Can you say amen? He has no choice. Why? Because if God be for us, come on, if God be for us. Oh, you didn't hear me tonight. I said, if God be for us. That's that question that Satan cannot answer. Can you say amen? One time God said that to Israel because they saw all of these people coming against them. Amen. And they saw these threatening nations around them. But God was for them. And he wanted to remind them, if you're right with me, you have nothing to fear. And he said, where is the fury of the oppressor? God standing up on behalf of a nation that is right with him said, where's the fury? Those threatening people, those threatening armies, those threatening kings with all of this natural power. When I stand up to protect my people, Israel, my covenant people, where is the fury of the oppressor? And then you can see him doing this. He said, let him step forward. God is saying, if I'm for them, who? Who? Go ahead. Who's the king mightier than the God of the universe that's going to stand up and say, I'm going to do them damage against your will and purpose? God said, let him step forward. Where is the fury of the oppressor? I tell you, we should defeat fear tonight. Amen. What we need to make sure of is that God is for us. Can you say, man, I'm so tired of dwelling on the devil. We need to start dwelling on the greatness and the goodness of our great God tonight. Can you say, oh, Baba, Hasiti, Yandada, Bakila, Moshala, Baba. Yes, there's a devil. Amen. But let's don't dwell on him. If God be for us, it doesn't really matter. Who shall be against us? Say, well, I would have done this, but the old devil. Quit glorifying the devil. If God called you or me to do something, the devil can't stop it. He can discourage me and I can stop it. accuse me and I can quit. But I'm not going to quit because I can pose a question to Him. If I know that I'm thoroughly right with God, I can pose a question to Him. That's why I preach. There's nothing wrong with getting right with God. It doesn't mean you're sinlessly perfect. It means you're perfectly washed in the blood of Jesus. You have confessed your sin and it's gone. Hallelujah. The only way to overcome the accuser of the brethren is by the blood of Jesus and what? The word of your testimony. And part of it, amen, after being washed in the blood or applying the blood should be, if God be for me, who can be against me? Hallelujah. Everybody said, if God be for me. There's a question mark at the end of that. And you know something? There's not a devil in hell, including Satan himself, that can answer that question. Because there is nobody. Can you say, amen, no demon from the netherworld is stronger than Christ in you, the hope of glory. Somebody give God praise tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I don't know why I looked at my watch. Just to make you feel better. Young Catholic boy went to church with a Protestant friend of his. First time he was in any other church than Catholicism. And the preacher began his sermon. He took off his watch and laid it on the pulpit. Not to look at, just he meant that, you know, he just took it. He said, what does that mean? The Catholic boy to the Protestant boy, and the Protestant boy said, absolutely nothing. It doesn't mean he's going to watch the clock and quit at 12. Anyway, if God be for us, who can be against us? We have peace with God because we've been reconciled. God is for us in a way that produces His highest good in our lives and accomplishes His eternal purpose. Since God is for us, everything from that point works together for good because we love the Lord and we are the called according to His purpose. Can you say amen? And that needs to be something we know, not something we speculate about or give mental assent to, but something that's a deep, settled truth so deep in us that even when the bad comes, we say, God has a plan. God has a purpose. I don't see it. I don't know how it's all going to come out, but when it all comes out, I'm going to be deeper in my faith. I'm going to have a greater testimony. God is going to be glorified and good is coming because He's able to subdue everything to His own eternal purpose. Say, if God be for me. See, I got dogs now, so I look at you sometimes like I try to read you like I do my dogs. And your expression is like tails. Your expression is just like tails. Amen? You know, dogs can't talk. How many know that? They can't. I heard one try one time, but he didn't do very well. My birds could talk. Oh, yeah, but my dogs can't. They bark. I heard one say, "Rah, rah, rah." Iroru. And the lady said, he's saying, I love you. Whether it was or not, I don't know. She had a lot of faith, but it could have been. But that's about all I've ever heard a dog say. Dogs talk in body language. Amen? They talk in body language. And one of the greatest things they use for body language is their tails. Amen? Their tails. When my dogs are happy, I can tell. Amen. Right by my computer, there's this tin little trash can. And Sophie lays as close to, if I sit down, my great big 90-pound dog lays down as close to me as she can get. And I'm always afraid I'm going to scoot back on that chair and roll over her ear. Because I have stopped just short and looked down. There was that old ear laying right there. And I say, Sophie, won't you just back off? I'll push your head away a little bit and she'll flop it back over. But all I have to do is just look down at her. Just look down at her with a smile. And then she'll look up at them old brown eyes, you know, and that tail goes bang, 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 bang. And I have to quit looking at her because it's really, you know, and then I have to move the trash can so the tail can wag without making all that drummer sound. Amen. I got a little drummer dog. I don't know about the little drummer boy, but she beats everything she's near when she's happy. But when she's, you know, not happy, that tail comes down. And when she's under guilt-ridden because she did something wrong and is being scolded, that tail actually tucks right between the legs. Amen? So many people Listen, you can try to justify your anger, justify unforgiveness, justify all those things that we say in anger. There is no justifying it. You don't win the battle by trying to say, well, I had a right. No, that's not how you win the battle. You win the battle by saying, I was wrong. I missed it. I blew it. And I'm going to God right now who knows all about all of this. And I'm going to confess it and ask Him for victory. And if I've wronged anybody, I'm going to ask them to forgive me. And whether they forgive me or not, amen, when I get up from that place of doing business with God, amen, I'm going to do real business with Him. And when I get up, I'm going to be able to look at the devil and say, if God be for me, who can be against me? Can you say amen? That's the question we need to be able to put to the devil. And you can't put it to him by being sinlessly perfect. You can put it to him, amen, that question to him, by being completely earnest, completely honest, completely transparent. The hardest places to preach is in a church where people are self-righteous. They don't feel they need repentance. So it's very difficult to see God move there, because we all need repentance at some time or another. No one above it. No one, the preacher included, no one. Sins of omission, commission, we need to go before God. The Lord's Prayer, every time. This is a pattern prayer for all prayer. And repentance is in it. Isn't that incredible? Forgive us our trespasses. Our trespasses, yes. As we what? Forgive those who trespass against us. But repentance is in there. Lord, teach us to praise, and let me teach you to repent then. Because that's part of praying correctly. You got to have God for you to get prayers answered. The only way to keep God for you is to be able to confess your sins when you sin. Not that you're bound by sin, but you are bound by weak flesh. And until you get home, there's going to be a fight go on between flesh and spirit. And there will be times that you lose that battle a little bit. Thank God for the fight. And when you find yourself on the losing end and they're counting you out, you go to God and say, Lord, forgive me. And then you go to who you've wronged if you can and ask their forgiveness. And whether they forgive you or not, you rise up from there and you square your shoulders and you go on with Jesus Christ and you pose this question to the accusers. Amen. If God be for me, who can be against me? Paul said Satan can never answer that question. Isn't that incredible? The accuser of our brethren cannot answer that question. God is the supreme judge and ruler of the universe. And if He acquits you, honey, you're acquitted. That's what's so wonderful. Amen. You can come to God and your past is gone. It's gone. It's gone. Hallelujah. Amen. Was it Carl Menninger, the psychologist, who said, I honestly believe that if the people that are in my institutions, mental institutions with breakdowns and mental issues to the point that they had to be institutionalized. He said if they could believe, and this is from his personal encounters with people in all these mental conditions, if they could earnestly believe that they had been forgiven, 75% of them, was his figure, could walk away. Their mind would clear up. They would get their right mind back. Those problems would dissipate if they just believed that they could be forgiven. Jesus didn't come to put a trip on everybody. We were already condemned by sin and our consciences. You know what He came? He came to set us free. He said, I did not come to condemn the world. I didn't come to point my finger. Amen. I came to seek. I came to save. That doesn't mean a judgment isn't coming. He said, but I didn't come to bring judgment on the earth. I came to save people that were under God's judgment and consternation. Because God wanted that. God is too just to look over it. He's obligated by His holiness to judge righteously. Amen? But He says, that's not my highest desire. That's not what I want. He told ancient Israel, I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth under that awful judgment. I don't get pleasure out of seeing the wicked punished. What really excites God is seeing people turn and repent so He can save them. Can you say, man? There's joy in the presence of angels over one sinner that comes to repentance. The night you got saved, angels didn't just shout. Angels didn't just dance. There was joy in their presence. Woo! That That means God rose up and God rejoiced. He said to ancient Israel when they came back to him, I will rejoice over you with singing. I want you to think about God singing. I want you to think about God singing. I love to make God sing. I love to win somebody to Jesus so that God is singing. God is rejoicing. Can you say, man, I will rejoice over thee with singing. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. A joyous song, a love song. Amen. That's what makes heaven happy. Amen. That's with all the glories of heaven, when a sinner gets saved, everything stops. And there's rejoicing in the presence of angels. Wow. What a great God we serve. If God be for us, I'm telling you, God is for the sinner. He can't let him into his heaven. He can't keep him from hell. He didn't make hell for anybody. Hell was not made for mankind at all, but only for the devil and the fallen angels. And yet people are going to that place according to the scripture, but they're going over top of the love of God that wants to save them. God commendeth his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And then that great statement, Christ died for the ungodly. I'm telling you, if you have a heart to repent and to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus, God is for you. And once God is for you, that's why the things you can't accomplish, the things you can't do in yourself, the things you can't overcome, just wait till God stands up in your behalf. Can you say, man? Just wait till God stands up and takes up the battle. Just wait till God, hallelujah, stands up and says, where is the fury of the oppressor? That one that told you that you could never be free. When God stands up, he can't say a word. That's why the young lady that thought she could never be anything but what she had always been, and that was homosexual, amen, and did not believe that she could be free, heard the message on the radio of slaying your giants, and the anointing of God came in that car, and she cried out to God. God stood up for her, and this giant fell. And she wrote me to that effect, that God changed her from the inside out. What she couldn't change in herself, God indeed did change. If you want to do the right thing, all heaven lines up behind you. God stands up in your behalf. That's why when they put those poles in the Ark of the Covenant that represented the earthly presence of God, because on the top of that gopher wood ark was two golden seraphims facing one another, carved out of, poured in a mold, so that the lid of the Ark of the Covenant was solid gold, and there were two carvings in gold, not carved actually, but molded on the top, two seraphims, two angels that minister in the presence. You know, they were facing one another on the top of that ark. And the Bible said that he would dwell between the seraphims. That means that ark represented the earthly presence of God. That's why it was placed behind a linen veil. And only the high priest could go back there, because it represented the earthly presence of God. God manifested himself on the earth. And you know what the Bible said? It said when we sing this song, let God arise, his enemies be scattered. Let God arise. That's what the scripture is all about. If God be for us, can you say amen? They put those poles in those rings when they had to move that ark, and only the priest from a lineage of priests was able to get under those poles and lift it up. But guess what they said when they lifted it up? Amen. Guess what they stated every time they picked it up to carry it? Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. King Ubabahashad, that's not just a little song to make you feel good. It's a revelation of the fact that when Israel is right with God, amen, he stands up in their behalf. So that's why when they went in battle, they took the ark first. That's why when they marched around Jericho, they took the ark. Can you say amen? And followed the ark. That's why when they came up against swelling Jordan to take the promised land, the priest picked up the ark and said, let God arise and his enemies be scattered, and stepped in that water, and the water stood up to let them cross, and every enemy they encountered, they conquered. Hallelujah. Let America get right with God, we'll start winning our wars. Let America get right with God, we'll have economic growth instead of economic chaos. We've threw out the message of repentance and wondering why America, as a so-called Christian nation, is in the state she's in. Over a year ago, I preached in this place. That's why it's so filled wall to wall. I preached there's going to be an economic judgment on America, because everywhere you turn, even in the church, all you hear is materialism, materialism. And we need a revival of repentance. Amen. People would rather hear about getting a new car than repenting. Honey, there's something very positive about repenting. Jesus said to that materialistic church, Laodicea, amen, that made him sick. He said, but let me tell you something. Everyone that I love, I rebuke and I chasten. My words to you is because I love you and I want to truly make you rich with the real riches. Amen. The true riches. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. I want to visit you in great revival. Amen. As many as I love, I rebuke and I chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. So that what? So I can give you gold tried in the fire, white raiment that you may be clothed. Can you say amen? You lose the message of repentance. You can't say, let God arise. It's amazing when the Twin Towers were hit, how many people, senators, congressmen, presidents. Billy Graham just turned 90. His son said he misses Ruth so bad, Ruth Bell, that said every picture they had of her in the house is now sitting in his bedroom. He just sets her all over the place. What a wonderful marriage. What a wonderful ministry. What a wonderful legacy. What a wonderful life. Can you say amen? And he said about his mind, they asked him about Billy's mind. He said he's got a 45-year-old mind and a 90-year-old body. In other words, he's still sharp. He still knows what he's talking about. He still loves God. He still, you know. But Billy Graham said, unless America repents, one of the few preachers to say it, Pentecostals used to lead that movement, and we quit doing it and took up another message. But he said, unless America repents, God is going to have to resurrect Sodom and Gomorrah and apologize for judging them. If he doesn't judge America, he's going to have to resurrect those people he did judge. Can you say amen for committing the same sins? And he called for national repentance. Oh, that we could hear some of our Pentecostal brethren today. Some of them are, but they are too few and too far between. Can you say amen? Calling for national repentance. There are ministers today with churches that are so huge and an influence that is absolutely some of the biggest things in America, but they are not preaching repent from those pulpits. Amen. So God can't stand up for America. Billy Graham's daughter, right after the Twin Towers, was on television and they quizzed her and say, why did God let this happen? As if America has this special place with all of the pornography center of the world. One of the biggest purveyors of pornography is this nation. The biggest consumers of drugs is America. That's why one of the Colombian drug cartel leaders said you declare war on us for bringing drugs to America. He said, why don't you do something about all the people in America that are consuming these drugs? He was saying how hypocritical it is to just say we're the bad guys. What about all your people that take all they can get of that, give up home, job, career, ruin their bodies and lives? What drives people to do that? What is America sitting in your self-righteousness? That don't mean we shouldn't go against those people sending it here. It means we've got a problem here that needs solving. Because if nobody buys drugs here, they don't have anybody to sell to. That's right. That's true. And what drives people to have to stay high or numb to live their life? What has happened in America as families unravel, literally come undone? Drink in America is killing tens of thousands of people, just the highways, not counting the other physical things that are going on. And no one's addressing it. We act like we live in this great place that God is always going to defend, and we've already seen that something is wrong with the hedge, that righteous wall that once circled this country and this nation. So they ask Billy Graham's daughter, where was God? And she looked at the newsman on national television and she said, oh, thank God for somebody with a backbone. Amen. She says, you put him, you don't want him in the public schools. You don't want his words and commandments in a courtroom or a courthouse. You put the manger scene you do not want in your city square. You push God out of your public life and literally say, I don't want him involved in politics, in the educational system, in any of these areas. And then when something terrible goes wrong, you want to know why he's not there. We need to be able to say, not if God be for us, but God is for us. Amen. Who shall be against us? That's why when they picked up that ark, they were right with God. They said, let God arise. You want to go to battle, go get the ark and let them go first. Let God arise and his enemies be scattered. Hallelujah. Psalm 27:1 said, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the defense of my life. Whom shall I dread? Amen. God is for me. Say it again. If God is for me, I'm going to say it and then you say the second. If God is for me, so now the issue isn't the devil. It isn't your weak flesh. It isn't the world system and the culture. Can you say, man, it is the sinfulness in the world around you? The issue is God for me? Amen? Let God arise. And what happens from that point on? You don't lose battles. Everybody say, you don't lose battles. Glory to God. I said, you do not lose battles. Praise God. Why? Because God takes up the fight. God takes up the fight. God takes up the fight. No foe can prevail against people who are supported by God, so committed to his people. Since God is for us, what difference does it make who's against us? Here's the assurance. Here's the equation for victory. God plus you equals victory. God stands up for you in your behalf. How can you lose? To defeat me, if God is for me, the devil would have to defeat God first. And he's got a real problem with that because he that's in me is greater than he that's in the world. And I don't mean it's 60-40. Can you say, man, God has a little edge on him. He's awfully powerful, but God has... No, he's a fallen angel divested of his power and authority. He gained authority by defraud in the garden when man made him the god of this world. God didn't do that. And if you don't give any place to him, the Bible said he can't take any ground from you. He's got to deceive you and defraud you. If you want to live in victory, it's achievable. I didn't say sinless perfection. I'm talking about victory. There's a difference. Victory for the Christian is not never getting knocked down. It's always getting up. Somebody say, always getting up. How many know if you count to nine and that guy gets up, the fight isn't over? Amen. It takes a 10 count for the fight to be over. It takes a knockout, a KO. By the way, one of the keys to this is a good cut man too. Amen. That's not just the corner man that encourages you. He's the one that actually puts the stuff on there when you're bleeding so bad they're going to stop the fight. And he puts that super glue looking stuff on that wound, packs it on in there. You know, and I just wince every time I see this big gaping hole over somebody's eye and somebody come along with this anticoagulant stuff and they smearing it on, pressing it in there. And I thought, dear Lord in heaven, I'd rather get hit by the guy than have him messing with that cut place on me. But I guess they're so keyed up, you know, they just kind of grim and get back in there, go at it again. Amen. But you know something? We got a good cut, man. Amen. Jesus talked about a man who poured oil and wine in the wounds of someone that had fell among that the thieves had robbed and left for dead. Amen. But what brought the healing? Amen. Oil and wine was poured in those wounds. Oil and wine are both types of the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. And I don't care how spiritually wounded, emotionally wounded you are, the thief, what damage he's done, there is oil and there is wine. Amen. To be poured in those wounds. Can you say, man? Can you say amen? Can you say amen? I got a cut man in my corner. And I've been hurt so bad I didn't want to fight anymore till he poured oil and wine. Glory be to God. Somebody say oil and wine. Say it again. Oil and wine in my wounds. Praise God. Amen. And after the healing that came through that oil and wine, I didn't just get up, amen, without that hemorrhage anymore, or without that bruise anymore, or without that brokenness anymore. I got up with the courage because I know no matter what happens, the oil and wine is there for me. No matter what the thief tries to do, God, if I will get up, He will stand up in my behalf. And if God be for us, church, I don't want to hear about the devil doing this and that anymore. I don't want to hear when a man fails in ministry, well, the devil saw he was about to reach the world. And oh, so the devil can stop you anytime he wants to if you're a big threat to him. No, he cannot. Flesh fails. God never fails. Blame the flesh. Don't blame the devil. Let me tell you about the most anointed preacher you can think of, and I'm sure there's ones far greater than me. Let me tell you something about them. Amen. Their flesh ain't no stronger than yours. It's weak. It has a tendency towards sin. You've got to put it on the cross to keep it from having its way in your life. Amen. Billy Graham's flesh is just as weak. Oh, he doesn't have this sterling character. No, he doesn't. He has a God of grace that keeps him. Can you say amen? Paul. Oh, what about the Apostle Paul who wrote 27 of the books of the New Testament? Can you say amen? How about 13 of the 27 books? What about if you include Hebrews? There's controversy over that. I think he wrote it, but anyway, it doesn't matter if he wrote it or not. He wrote about half of the epistles in the New Testament. The epistles are not the wives of the apostles. I found that out about a year after I started preaching. But God has been good to me and saved souls anyway. Can you say amen? Glory to God. What about the great Apostle Paul? He said, by the grace of God, I am what I am. I get knocked down, but I get back up. And when I'm weak, then am I made strong. Hallelujah. Wow. I want God to be for me. I want God to be for you. Amen. I want us to win the battles. And we win them by overcoming the accuser of the brethren. We win them by recognizing our flesh is weak, but our God is strong. Amen. We win by recognizing we got a world, amen, that will cause us pressure. Just being in it, in this world, you shall have as a Christian tribulation. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Literally, I've robbed it of power to harm you. I'm standing up for you. Who can be against you and prevail? Wow. Everybody say that's how we should answer. Amen. I got weak flesh, but God is for me. I live in a wicked world, but God is for me. Hallelujah. I've got a formidable foe, an enemy, an accuser, the devil. But God is for me. Can you say amen? And if God is for me, what is the answer, church? Who can be against me? Amen. That means we can't. All these excuses for not walking in victory are out the window. Amen. I believe God's got a huge trash can, golden trash can, sitting beside the throne. I believe He's got a big one too. I believe it's bigger than the Empire State Building. You know why I believe it's so big? Amen. Because there's so many things we say, amen, that He just wads up and slam dunks into that sucker. Can you say amen? Oh, God, where were you? God, why did you let the devil do that? Amen. Over, I mean, it fills up. Angels have to come several times a day and empty that thing. Can you say amen? I'm serious. I didn't have that in the vision. I'm just letting my mind. Amen. I believe God, amen, absolutely discounts and discredits every time we murmur, every time we complain, every time we give credit to the devil for things that our weak flesh has allowed to happen. Can you say amen? Are you listening to me? It's time Christians assume some responsibility. Ascribe to God, amen, the mighty power, amen, and the mighty one that He is, amen, and quit conceding defeat to an enemy that has already been defeated at the cross of Calvary. Can you say amen? The issue is not and never has been who is against us. The issue is God for us? And if He isn't, you can have Him for you. And all you have to do for Him to stand up in your behalf, amen, is to come very clean with Him and very honest with Him. David did that. and died with a testimony that he was one of those men after God's own heart. And it sure wasn't because he was perfect, but he knew what to do when he blew it. And he did it. And he did it from the heart. And God let him become not only a great king, but Jesus was called something. Hey, David died with such high honors. After Satan had every right to malign him and people too, after what he did, he could have died of the biggest failure in all of the Bible. But he didn't. He died a great king over Israel. If you don't think there's grace in the Old Testament, you go back and look at David. Can you say, man, he died with God for him, didn't he? Can you say, man? And what did they call Jesus? They called him Son of God, they called him Son of Man, and they called him something else to honor him. What did they call Jesus to honor him? Son of David. Amen. What did blind Barnabas cry? Son of David. You're in the lineage of this family. Amen. Jesse's sons. Amen. There shall come a root out of the stem of Jesse. Amen. David overcame because he obtained grace in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. Fulfilling the scripture, if God shows you mercy and grace, who can stand up and defeat you and stop his eternal purpose for your life? Amen. Are you ready to shout victory tonight? Amen. Will you come and find our great God just as we close tonight? Praise God. God wants you to win this thing. Grace is not a license to sin, never has been. But oh, what a blessing it is to know that we have a way out if we get entrapped. We can win this thing tonight. Sheila Bambaba Leka. When I went through nervous breakdown, nervous exhaustion, I never quit preaching. But when my nerves literally went, I used to take my Bible at night. I'd go into a room by myself so I wouldn't